Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. I took one day off. Hopefully you didn't miss me too much. Me and the family went down to Santa Cruz, had a good time. Kiddo had a fun competition that was really, really cool to be a part of. Spent some time on the beach. It was a good time. Now, that was cool. I appreciate you guys allowing me to take a day. But come on now. We are so stinking close to the draft. It is right around the corner. The last episode we did, we talked our Rush Crush players, and we didn't finish them all. So that's going to be at the end portion of today's show. We have five more Rush Crushes, kind of later round guys that I want to talk through. But the main portion, all right, of today's show is going to be our top five series, which, you know, I do a type of segment like this every year, but shout out to my man Al O with the email. It reminded me, like, dude, we haven't done this yet. So what we're going to do is we're going to go pick by pick with a realistic option of top five at every single turn for the 49ers, right? So top five realistic options at pick 11, top five realistic options at 43, 75, 99. And we're just going to focus on the first three rounds today. But the good news is our Rush Crush players that we did not get to are all later round guys. So the goal is you will walk away from today with targets in essentially rounds 1 through 7. And the 49ers have 11 picks. And again, to be fair, the bias, the skew is going to be on players that I'm high on at each one of those positions. And so this was not a who I think Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers are hoping falls there. So I have a much heavier emphasis on offensive line than the 49ers will almost at all these picks. So that is probably, if you're going to fault or try to discredit or be like, well, that's it. John Chapman values offensive line play big time. It's premium. Kyle Shanahan does not. Chris Forster does not. John Lynch does not. They don't care. They just do not care about those positions. And so, and maybe not that they don't care. They're completely comfortable with what they have, right? All right. I mean, you just look no further than Jake Brendel and Colton McKivitz and just how, man, they are just perfectly content. I don't put Jake Brendel's way worse than Colton McKivitz. So, like, I don't want to put those two players in the same tier. Like, Colton McKivitz is definitely an on par right tackle in the NFL. I don't think he's like top by any stretch. He's close to average, maybe a little bit below average. And then you got Jake Brendel, who I think is far below average at the center position, but both severely underpaid according to, you know, their positions and how they stack up. So that's what we're going to operate on. So again, if you're looking for the critique or if you're looking for kind of like, man, yeah, but that's going to be it. I value offensive line play and I am in desperate. I want to see Brock play behind a quality offensive line at some point. I do think you've missed your opportunity because you have to pay him now, but I always wanted to see, man, what could Brock be behind a quality offensive line and what would that look like? Nah, we're not going to get to see that. You got to do the contract now. And so I hate that they missed that opportunity, but it's time to pay Brock. He should get paid. I would love to see him play behind a good offensive line. Trent's amazing. And yeah, no doubt about that. Dominic Pooney's amazing. That's great. That's 40% of your offensive line, right? Two out of five. You got three out of five question marks. Don't like that. And even if you want to give credit to Colts McKivitz, cool. Ben Bartsch and Jake Brindle, that's got to be the worst left guard center combo in the NFL. It has to be. Definitely bottom three, no matter what. And shout out to my man Yacek. I'm excited about today for a couple reasons. One, on the last show, I said, man, I don't remember who came up with the term rush crush. I really did not remember. And so I was just like, it was Yacek. And I appreciate him. The educators remember, right? Yacek is a brother. He is amazing. And so Yacek was the one that came up with that. So I do want to say thank you for that, because the whole time I was like, man, who came up with that? I couldn't remember. But anyway, yeah, it was the man. It was the man. So also, we're going to be going over some of our past stuff. So one of the things that I want to do, because it's a constant look back and it's a constant look forward, you reevaluate how things went. So we're going to be sharing our pre-draft write-ups on Ricky Pearsall and Renardo Green today. Again, these were before they ever were drafted by the 49ers, so it wasn't skewed in any way, shape, or form. And what that looked like. So we're going to be sharing those today. We're going to be talking top five at each position, and then we're going to share our rush crushes at the end of the show, which I'm super excited about. And we're giving away. I'm excited about this, man. We are going to be giving away a free Jerry Rice tier, which is $20 a month. One of our top tiers on Patreon of the 49ers Rush for a year. Just to support the community, this was an anonymous gift from a big-time Patreon subscriber, and so we are just trying to extend the community. So pay attention. Halfway through the show, we'll do a trivia question, and the winner, free of charge to you, gets a $20 subscription to, that's Zoom Hangouts, that's all the video breakdowns, draft book, you name it, you get it all year long. Every single offensive, defensive, special team snap broken down in all 22. I'm excited about this, so stay tuned for that. Everybody is available. Look at that. Shout out to Sean. This was 2 years ago draft hat. He says, John hat is fire as usual. I love this hat. I do love this hat very, very much. Thank you very much. I hate this year's draft hat, though. I really, really do. Joe, he says, I care, but I want the first four picks to be defensive line. Yeah, I do too. I care about the offensive line. The defensive line's worse, no doubt about that. You have one starter. You at least have two quality starters on the offensive line, and you have no depth. Yeah, it's bad. It is bad. So, yeah, you definitely have to put an emphasis on the defensive line, but here's the problem. If you ignore offensive line early, you're kind of strapped getting any offensive line help at any point. One of the draft axioms is, man, if you want offensive line talent, you have to get it day one and day two. Sometimes you can find a diamond in the rough. Like Brock Pooney is a diamond in the rough, but that's the third round. Like you found a third round guy. Zach Tom might be one of the only players that I could think of day three that's like a perennial starter. That dude was awesome. But those are rarities. Even third round hits are rarities. If you don't get offensive line help in the first, second, maybe third, you got to kind of be like, yeah, it ain't happening. It's just not happening. Yacek, with the 11th pick, 40 hours, take a long snapper. Yeah, I'm hoping it don't happen. You know, we're not drafting a long snapper there, but I'm hoping we don't take any kicking specialists at all. That has not worked. That has not worked. What's up, Mijo? So glad to see you in the chat. Oh, and Wednesday, man, just a couple days away, we're going to be doing a fun show, crossover show with Striking Gold Podcast and Rob Lauder. So stay tuned for that. Wednesday's going to be a lot of fun. We always do draft stuff, which I'm always excited about. Right here, Dell. Boy, y'all are putting a lot of faith in Trent for 2025. I just don't see it. Trent said he's not retiring. His plan is to play at least a couple more years. He has 2 years left on his contract. He's well along. There is no doubt about that. He is well along. But you look past just 1 year. You just go 1 year in advance. This is the last year for Colton McKivitz. Maybe Trent does retire. Now you have no offensive tackles on the roster at all. Spencer Burford last year of his deal. You got Ben Bartsch on a 1 year deal. You have 2 years left to Jake Brindle, which, you know, however you see that. Dominique Pooney is the only one that you have any guarantee past a year. And if you're going to address, man, you might go into next year's offseason replacing four offensive linemen. The problem is you punted on free agency, and with all those cash cuts and cash trades, man, you have holes all over the roster. Now, the 49ers are a good team. They have a great backbone, but man, there is just, you have depth concerns everywhere. Everywhere. And so I there's no way you're plugging all the holes. And there's no way you're plugging all the holes for 2025. Sure as hell ain't plugging all the holes for 2025 and 2026. You just can't. There's not enough. Even if you hit on all 11, which isn't going to happen, I hate to tell you, you're still not. You are still not close to where it is. And yeah, Trent misses games. He's going to miss games every year. He's that old. That's just what happens in the NFL. It's 100% injury rate. Hopefully Spencer Burford can be that swing tackle, or you draft one that can learn and just be the Trent replacement. There are players out there that fit that mold, but you got to get it done. You got to get it done. Ooh, Invader says, I'll take that bet that he doesn't miss Trent six games. Real quick, let me just look up. How many times has Trent Williams missed six games in his kind of career? Last year, he missed seven. That's it since he's been with the Niners. He's never missed more than three before last year, right? He missed two in 2023. He missed three in 2022, two in 2021, two in 2020. So he misses a game or two each year. Last year was kind of the major exception. And really, he only missed six games twice in the previous decade before that. Now, I know somebody's like, dude, he sat out for a year. Yes, he did. A lot of that was the ownership and whatever else, and, you know, the tumor and all that stuff. But, like, I get it. He's well along in years. He's going to be 37. He's 37 years old in the NFL playing offensive line. That is rare. Rare. He said he's playing until 40. He's got 2 years left on his deal. I would say less than six games missed, personally. He's finally got rest. I mean, his last game. Ooh, I want to look up this. When was Trent's last game in 2024? Pull up the game log here. Yeah, his last game was November 17th. So, I mean, he's going to have a lot of time off. Plus, he doesn't practice on Wednesday. Like, you might get, this is off the cuff, you might get a better Trent Williams this year. He's finally going to be rested and healthy. Finally. You might see a little bit of a reinvigorate. Now, can you predict long-term 2026, 2027? No. Plus, he's only contract through 2026. I'm just saying, I'm not going to be shocked if Trent is better to start this season than he has been in the past. Should that affect how you draft? Nah, we'll see. We'll see about that.
April is Financial Literacy Month. That's right. They made a whole month reminding you to finally take control of your money. Good news, you don't need 30 days. Acorns makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future in just 5 minutes. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorn lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if it's only spare change. I love Acorns, and I've used it for over 3 years now because if I'm busy, it takes care of it. If I have time to spend a lot of time in research, that option's there too. So, sign up now and join over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion, with a B, billion dollars with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/49ers, that's 49ERS, or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Let's do this. Let's get into this. Is my our draft write-up last year before the draft, before the 49ers took Ricky Pearsall. And I think that what's important is, man, let's hold ourselves accountable here. Talking to myself, right? I'm holding up the mirror. What do we get right? What do we get wrong? Now, right off the bat, I had an early third round grade on Ricky Pearsall. Early third. I docked him for just being thrown off his routes all the time and not being a vertical stretcher. But here's my my write-up. Routes and hands, catches everything. Tough player that just moves the chains consistently. Willing blocker, but not a positive to his game. We saw the willingness all season. Again, this is before he ever stepped foot or was drafted by the Niners. One of the best route runners in the draft. So smooth. Good Senior Bowl. You always got to put stock up to those Senior Bowl players. Circus catches are a normal thing for him. Maybe the best change of direction wide receiver in the draft. And again, one of my biggest critiques, if you listened to our show about a week and a half ago, looking back to looking forward, whenever you get these players that have these elite skill sets, you got to bump them up a little bit. I still, knowing everything I know about Ricky Pearsall now, should not have a first-round grade, but probably should have had a second-round grade. Probably should have been in the second round. That's where we should have. We were low on him. But still, Ladd McConkey is better. Ladd McConkey, I had ranked a full round ahead of him. And so whenever I was looking at these change of direction guys, like Ladd was just cleaner. A cleaner evaluation, better athlete, cleaner. But that's not Ricky's fault. Going on, wish he played as big as he is. That's still a concern for me. Getting rerouted, physicality, not part of his game. Toughness, bravery is, not physicality, still not there. Tape is good and consistent, but plays like a small slot wide receiver. I would say that was spot on. I talked athletic comp, Nick Burleson, Cedric Wilson with elite hands. That's kind of what I had for him there. And so, man, I don't think we were wrong on our draft evaluation. Perhaps should have been a little bit higher on the grade. Now, what we learned about Ricky Pearsall since then, just the perseverance, the overcoming, the teammate, the work ethic, all those things were there. And again, like I had an early third on him. Went at the back end of the first round. I still don't think it was the right pick. Was it a bad pick? No. No. Ricky Pearsall is a player. You identified a player that fit your quarterback. Going from Debo, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, that Jimmy Garoppolo, Debo was a pairing. Now, I know you drafted Debo first, but like those guys fit each other. Now, Brock Purdy and Debo, yeah, Debo works with every quarterback, but what does Brock Purdy do? He finds guys that are wide open. He's a processor. So you go get somebody that can get wide open. It's a match. It is a match. It is a match. I believe in that. Couple things right here. Absolutely wanted Ladd or Worthy when KC got Worthy. I was sure we were getting Ladd. Crazy we didn't. And I'm happy with. I'm not here to say like I'm out on Ricky Pearsall. I did have higher grades of the wide receiver position out there. Now again, critique myself. I had Adonai Mitchell ahead of him as well. And I wanted, if you went wide receiver, I thought they should have gone Adonai. I was wrong there. That was wrong. I was right about Ladd. Whatever you want to do with Xavier Worthy and however you feel about that, that's cool. But he went right before us anyway. That's where that is right here. Invader. Pearsall is going to smash this year with a full camp with Brock. yeah, sky high. I traded for him in my dynasty league. Like, Pearsall is the future with Brock. Ayuk is the future with Brock. Like, those three are entwined for the next three seasons, hopefully. Hopefully Ayuk comes back and is able to do whatever. Right here, King says, you know, wanted DeJean, but loved Ricky. Yeah, Ricky Pearsall, perfect fit. Precise route running that Brock already trusts. Yes, yes, yes. The full camp. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, let's get to our last one that I want to talk about. And this one's Renardo Green. I really liked Renardo. I had him down. I had Sandra Strill. I had Drew Phillips. I had those guys ahead. And they should be. And I think both of those guys played better than Renardo Green last year. But, like, man, he's on par with those guys. Like, last year's corner class, you're talking Cooper DeJean, you're going Quentin Mitchell. Man, there were six studs. We got one. We got one. Here's what I write up. Held his own versus Malik Nabers. 16 forced incompletions. Man, that showed again. That translated. Can play all cornerback spots. Started him at nickel, moved him outside. Demo said, that's mine. Pesky corner that just bothers wide receivers. No issues with toughness, taking on blocks, or helping in the run game. Check, check, check. Kid is tough. Now, he was injured a lot. He did not finish a lot of games, but he was always back. Toughness is there. Just absorbs wide receiver speeds on routes, but doesn't grab and pull, which is nice. Not a lot of penalties. Wish he had more slot work, as I think Nichols is best fit. Demo said, hell no. They started him at nickel. Then they kicked him outside, and I think he can still play both. And I think with the 49ers roster right now, if something, God forbid, did happen to D'Amador Lenore, I do think Renardo Green would slide into that nickel spot. Trey Brown's just an outside corner to have the change of direction. Back to Renardo Green write-up. Very good in man, just makes life hard on wide receivers. Whenever you have something twice in there, it's multiple games, shows across. Plays way bigger than 186. Lack of interceptions is an issue, but his pass breakups are insane. 38 career games played for Florida State in 2 years as a starter. Cam Smith, Carrington Valentine. I had a fourth-round grade on him. I was low there. That was, I got to be honest, that was a miss. I had second-round grades on Sandra Steele and Drew Phillips. Probably should have had a high third. Again, this he went at the end of the second round. And again, I never have enough players per round. So, like, probably should have had an early third. I was off on him there. But again, this is an honesty check yourself type of situation. He had pass breakups against Malik Nabers. I think you misunderstood that part. But yeah, you go back. He played his best versus the best. And I think Renardo Green, another foundational building part that you have moving forward. Was I a little low on him? Yeah, he surprised me. Was I shocked when the Niners took him there? Yes. But the Niners board is different than everybody else's. I say this all the time. Like, if you compared all 32 teams' big boards, which you'll never be able to do, the 49ers would be the most unique. Like, they'd definitely be top three. They care about fit more than quality, not quality foot. I don't want to say that. They don't do best player available. No. Like, that is not 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 on the priority line of the 49ers. It is fit and need. Is that a correct way to look at it? That's a different conversation. But fit and need is how the Niners evaluate players. That's why you get kickers in the third round. That's why you get punters in the fourth round. That's why you get drafting running back over and over and over again, because Shanahan, we need more guys. We always lose our running backs. We play only one running back at a time. God forbid we have to rotate our guys in. He's going to hurt them. It's just what it is. Running backs will always be hurt. Only 1 year since Shanahan showed up have you had a healthy running back. That was Christian McCaffrey whenever he broke all the records, right? That was it. No other time since 2017 have your running backs been healthy. Yeah, he runs them into the ground. You can say that for every single position also. Defensive line runs them into the ground. Wide receivers runs them into the ground. Quarterbacks doesn't value offensive line, right? So, look, those are Shanahan critiques. Not that I'm anti-Shanahan. I love that he's our coach. But every coach comes with them flaws, pros and cons. Nobody's perfect. But see right here, Green broke the record for pass breakups as a Niners rookie. He's awesome, man. The way that he makes plays on the ball and plays with such confidence, which is rare in a quarters cover three scheme. Now, we did a lot of cover one man last year. Thanks a lot, Sorensen. But that's okay. Invader, Green is the highest drafted cornerback by this regime, which tells you what they thought of him. And Peters wasn't around to steer them towards a player like him. That is correct. Yeah. One of the best drafts. Adam Peters wasn't here. Now, if you go look at what Adam Peters did last year, his draft class completely dwarfed, but they were picking early, right? Every single round. We were picking late, but you got to argue, like, Peters was right. His draft, he got Sandra Steele. I don't think they're upset about that. Now, would you trade Sandra Steele for Renardo Green? I think they're close to each other. I really do. I think the three corners to watch outside of the first round guys, Sandra Steele, Drew Phillips, and Renardo Green. All three of those were home runs, and the 49ers got one. It can't be, you know, we're being kind of picky here, but like Renardo Green's him, and you are excited about what he brings. Excited. Right here. If we get Barron, I wouldn't be mad at it. Corner is a need. Yeah, you didn't sign any corners. You got Trey Brown. Missed 39 games in 4 years. You do not have a number three corner on this team, and that is dangerous in the NFL. Dangerous. Big time dangerous. Now, real quick, guys, I'm so excited. And as we go through my top five players, like, understand this. I'm gonna share a lot of kind of what we've done and what we've created. But man, again, the best place, and we're gonna be giving away a subscription service, which I'm super excited about a little bit later. But if you want to support the show and support our work, go get the draft book.
It is time. The 2025 49ers Rush draft book is available. It's up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon page. 343 players overall, broken down every single thing that you could ever want to know about any player, who our Rush Crush players are, what their metrics are, what their analytics are, PFF grades, film breakdowns, alignment. Do they play in the slot? Do they play out wide? Were they free safety? Background. We break down academic reports, injury reports, on-off the field reports, not one but two player comps for each player, where they're expected to go, where we think we're going to go, and a 49ers fit score for all 343 players. You want to see where they're ranked on a NFL style, big board, war room style, man, we have them broken down with flag players, whether they're rush, crush, character, injury, off the field, you name it. Plus, we have our top 61 through 60 players ranked. And if you want to get even more in depth, we have charts, elusive rankings, havoc ratings, drop ratings, you name it. You want to pull up running backs and you want to sort by the fastest 40 with the longest wingspan for each position, that is all available. Go to 49ers, the49ersrush.com, and it's up there on our player breakdowns. It's right there. Free to all subscribers. Patreon, if you're a subscriber, head over there. Access, it's already loaded. But if you don't want to subscribe because you really want to just make sure you just want a one and done, $20 on our Patreon page. You can pay for it. It's there. Go support. So much time went into this. Go get it now. The 49ers 2025 Rush draft page is out. All right. Let's give away a free subscription. Compliments of just people trying to build the community. And this has nothing to do with me. So the winner of this draft question, or not draft question, but 49ers trivia question, will get a free year subscription. Jerry Rice tier and above. Zoom meetings, draft book, every single video breakdown we do. All right, here's a question. My favorite 49ers player, probably of all time. Yeah, I think he's number one for me, especially with how many times he's come out and partied with us. Navarro Bowman. I love that he's coaching the NFL. So here's my question. How many 100 tackle years or seasons did Navarro Bowman have in his career? The first one that puts that correct answer in the chat. Now, the chat always is a different order than what you see it, because we are streaming on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, all over the place. So the order you see it is not the order I get it. Sadly, we're going with the order as it shows up on mine, which is different than a lot of yours. So if you think yours is first, I apologize. I'm going with the first one that comes across my screen.
And I hopefully I'm going to wait, because if you are a 49ers Rush subscriber, the 49ers Rush, hopefully you don't guess correctly. We allow somebody that gets it correct. So we've got multiple correct answers. The correct answer is 5. Navarro Bowman had 5 years over 100 tackles. In 2011, he had 143. In 2012, he had 148. In 2013, he had 145. Then you had that terrible injury. Screw the Seahawks. And then in 2015, you had 154. Now, his last year in 2017, he played with two teams, but still broke the 127 100 mark threshold. So the correct answer is 5. The first correct answer, again, I'm scrolling, just making sure I'm not cheating here. The first person with 5 that came across my board, okay, is none other than Vince. But Vince, I think you're a subscriber. If not, congratulations. And if for some reason, Vince, you got to let me know here. I'm starring all the other 5s, because if you are not a subscriber, congratulations. You just won. But we've got lots of backups. We will see here. Shout out to my man, Vince Mansueto. You got to email me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. And then if you're not a subscriber, we're going to get you set up on there for a year for free. All about the community, baby. That's right, Uncle Salty. You always win the senior division. Uncle Salty, he's awesome, because he comes to our Seattle events and always wins trivia because he listens to the show. And we have to bar him after he wins once or twice. He can't win anymore because he knows all of his stuff. That is great. Right here, Vince, not on the Jerry Rice tier, but I am a tier lower. Dude, congratulations, Vince. That is awesome. You know what we're going to do? I'm going to make an executive decision, because you're on the Jerry Rice tier and up. We're going to give a free Frank Gore tier, which is lower tier, but you get all the video breakdowns to our man, Ethan Pineda. So congratulations watching over on Twitter. Ethan, email me. Look at that. We're giving away not one, but two. That's what we do. So email me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. We got Ethan, and we've got none other than Vince. Excited for both of you guys. Congratulations. Appreciate y'all. Ethan and Vince. Look at that. Free memberships. That's what's up, man. That's what we're doing. I love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Let's get into the top 5 of each pick that I want. This is a John Chapman skew, okay? So, like, these are based not necessarily on my ratings, but who I think is the best fit and what you need. So it's not necessarily my top 5 rated players on my big board. That's not it at all. It is much more of, man, these are guys that I think could be there. Like, for pick 11, okay? Not counting Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Mason Graham. Not counting those guys. I'd prefer a trade back if none of those guys are there, but not counting that. My top 5 players, and again, offensive line is everything, okay? Like, and so I'm big on that. And so they reflect, my top 3 reflect that. Armon Membu would be number 1. Kelvin Banks, I'm higher on him than most, would be number 2. Will Campbell would be number 3. Now, there's not a clear edge. If you have a perfect evaluation on Mike Green and you're comfortable with the off the field, he would be on there, but he's not for me. James Pierce would be my 4, and Derek Harmon would be my 5 because he's my next highest rated defensive tackle. That, so Membu, Banks, Campbell, James Pierce. I'm higher on James Pierce than most. He's so good against the run. Yes, he's got the elite speed. I wish he had a better bend. Are you comfortable with the work ethic? Man, I look at the way that dude is built. I think that he spends time in the weight room, but there are some off-the-field question marks on, does he love football? 49ers met with him. They'll have to clear that as well. But I do think that I have a giant gap of James Pierce over the next edge. Probably Mikael Williams would be next for me. So my top 5 at 11, the 3 tackles, James Pierce, Derek Harmon. Again, trade back is what I want. I'm not in love with any of those outside of the tackles. I am in love with all three of the tackles. It just makes sense now. All 3 of them could start at left guard or right tackle over anybody that you have. So however you want the best 5, All three of those guys, Mimbu, Banks, and Will Campbell, they give you the chance to move the offensive line to get your best five out there. So however you want to deal with that long term, yeah, worst case, they're your right tackle for the next decade, or you slide them over to the Trent spot as well. Don't care. I love offensive line play. I love offensive line play. So my top five, Mimbu, Banks, Campbell, Pierce, Harmon. If the big three aren't there and you can't trade back. And that's the thing. I want to trade back. Yeah, that's what I want to do. Look at Ben right here. JC, that matches mine spot on. When Ben talks NY Niners, this dude spends some time in the tape. And he does his research. Right here, Logan, I'm not sold on James Pierce. I understand that. I understand that. Now, Nick Skorton, he's on my list for 43. I have a second round grade on Skorton. And I know a lot of people like him a lot more than me. And I like Skorton. I'm not on as high on him as ever. I don't see first round player. And I know Josh is going to get mad at me as he's watching this. I get that. And I know Invader was going to throw out the Walter Nolan. I'm not upset about Skorton or Nolan at 11. They're not in my top five. I would prefer Nolan over Skorton, if that makes sense. But, you know, do however you feel about that. There's Josh. I knew he's going to show up. He's on the Skorton trade. So let's go to pick 43, the second round. And, like, this is hard because you have to play the game. Well, I don't think that player is going to be there. So this is where it gets hard. And, again, offensive line is a premium for me. Now, let's say you snag one of those three tackles in the first round, well, then that's going to change offensive line in the second round. You're going to delete those, right? But my top five, my number one player, if I could have almost any player that has a potential chance at falling to 43, is Donovan Jackson. I think that dude is an all-pro level guard with five-position versatility. But again, if you draft a tackle in the first round, I'm not taking Donovan Jackson in the second round. But I don't think that we are drafted a tackle in the first. So Donovan Jackson, I have him 17th on my big board. The fact that he is a guard who could help at tackle, I loved. If you drafted Donovan Jackson and you had Jackson and Pooney blocking for Brock Purdy for the next decade, hopefully, I would be so ecstatic. I would love Donovan Jackson. It's not sexy. It's not sexy. Now, again, I'm not a Jake Brendel fan. Gray Zabel. He's my number two. Both of my top three picks of the first round, O-line. Top two picks of the second round, O-line. I think O-line is a major issue. I really wish we could see premium players at those spots. I'm tired of seeing Creed Humphrey and, you know, Frazier and Cam Jurgens and all these great centers go to these other teams that are having so much damn success. I'm tired of it. I really, really wish we could get some of those guys. So Donovan Jackson won at 43, Gray Zabel 2, Trey Amos, the corner, corner's a major need, he at 3, and then I got back-to-back defensive ends, Landon Jackson, Nick Skorton. I don't have one defensive tackle in the second round on my top five list, which is crazy. Now, here's my second round grades at the defensive tackle spot, which if you have the draft book, you can visually see this. I got a second on Alfred, second on Alfred Collins, TJ Sanders, Darius Alexander, Tyreek Williams. But the difference between the second and third round DTs is minimal. That's why I don't have them as my top five. Yeah, DT is a huge need, but I don't think the best second round players are defensive tackles. I don't. Now you get to the third round, that's where it changes, right? So my second round, pick 43, top five, Donovan Jackson, Gray Zabel, Trey Amos, Landon Jackson, Nick Skorton. Had to put Nick Skorton on there somewhere. Otherwise, Josh would leave me, and that would break my heart. 30 visit with TJ. I love TJ Sanders. Love TJ Sanders. Darius Alexander, so underrated, I think is where that is. Man, I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, let's get to pick 75. This is our third round pick. You got two of them. My top five. This is where defensive tackles go big. Alfred Collins. I have a second round grade on him. He had the walking boot on at the pro day after he did all the combine stuff. So, like, not sure what happened there. But Alfred Collins, third round. That I have a second round grade on him, but third round's where he should go. Jacob Parrish, one of my rush crushes. CJ West, I freaking love CJ West, another defensive tackle. Tate Ratledge, I saw somebody put him in the chat. I love Tate Ratledge. Love, like Dominique Pooney 2.0 with a mullet and a perv. I'm telling you, and the tape is just so freaking good and consistent. 3 years of production at left guard, plug and play. Tate Ratledge, I would love him. And then a little bit of a sleeper at pick 75. Defensive end, Ashton Jelody. I cannot move this guy up my board anymore. Nobody talking about him. And I'm seeing people taking him in the fifth and sixth round, and I'm like, dude, that is a third-round player with elite athleticism, solid contract. Like, Ashton Jelody, defensive end. Really, really, really like him. And yeah, Uncle Salty. There we go. Ratledge is much more than the salad on his head. Yeah, it gets him attention. And I get that. I get that. But yeah, I think he's a perfect fit. I really, really do. Perfect fit. Now, the last one that we're going to do our top five for today is pick 99. Then we'll get to our late round rush crushes in the second half of the show. Pick 99. Number one, Harold Fannin Jr. I don't care if you took Harold Fannin Jr. in the second round. I don't care if you took Harold Fannin Jr. at 75, 99, 113. Don't give a damn. Get tight end Harold Fannin Jr. on your roster however you can. If the 49ers took him in the second round, I would be happy. This is just one of those guys that ain't going to miss. He ain't going to miss. Harold Fannin Jr. Now, he's a little bit slower and a little bit smaller. I get that. But tough as hell, elite production, amazing routes. He's Gumby as a tight end. Like, he's just awesome. Andrew Mukuba, I freaking love that dude. I don't think the Niners draft a safety day one or day two, though. RJ Harvey. If the Niners did take a running back at this 99 spot, which this is always where, you know, Ty Davis Price went, Trey Sermon went, whatever. RJ Harvey, wherever he goes, I'm telling you right now, you rookie, dynasty, super flex, whatever, I don't care. Draft RJ Harvey. This dude is going to fly up depth charts. I'm hanging my hat on, I love RJ Harvey. Where he gets drafted, probably fourth round, but man. Like, if I was in that room, I'm that little devil on Angel on Shanahan's shoulder. Just RJ Harvey. He's fast, but trust me, RJ Harvey and Shanahan's scheme. Woo! Femi Oladejo, UCLA tight end. If he lasts that long, I think he's going to go earlier, actually. But I would take Femi earlier. 99 is where I think he should go around that range. I think it's perfect pairing. And then Jalen Royals. Wide receiver, Utah State. I want him as Shanahan scheme, man. It's basically Dante Pettis, but tough. Like, he fits, checks all the things. You want the separation. Like, he could run all three wide receiver spots. He could run the full route tree, even though he wouldn't ask to. I like Jalen Royals. I'm a couple of these guys that I list at 99, I'd be cool with at 75. Like, if you told me, okay, we're going to bump all these up. Go with me here. I'm kind of on the fly. I'm off script. If you told me the 49ers drafted Donovan Jackson in round one, I'd be upset, but you're going to get what you, it's like, and this is how the Niners build their board. How do we guarantee we get one of these guys, right? You look at Ricky Pearsall. I want Ricky Pearsall. There's no way we're going to get him if we don't take him right here at 31. Nobody's willing to trade back. I want Ricky Pearsall. Yeah, it's early. Yeah, we're going to get burned. Yeah, everybody's going to mess up on our grades. Who cares? We're getting the guy we want. And so if I went through this and we drafted the number one player a full round early. So at 11, we took Donovan Jackson. At 43, we took Alfred Collins. At 99, we took Harold Fannin Jr. You're not getting the value of those picks. But I'm telling you, you're walking away with three freaking studs. And I think that this is how the 49ers build their board. Do we love him? Does he fit? Well, screw consensus. Do we love him? Does he fit? And those are perfect love fit guys. And that's how the Niners stack their board. And that's why there's major reaches compared to consensus rankings all across the board. All across the board. You're drafting these guys that other people are like, wow, we didn't have them till way later. And yeah, there's misses. Joe Williams, you talk about all the running backs, Cam Latu, whatever else. Do we love him? Does he fit the need? Does he fit our style? This is how they build. This is how they build. Not saying it's wrong. RJ, you can pass it to him. You got to sit him on routes. But you drafted a guy last year in Isaac Grando, who graded out as the number one pass pro running back coming out of college football last year. How'd he do in pass pro as a rookie? He was god-awful. He was god-awful. He was terrible. It didn't really even get better. So, like, I get it. And you have Christian McCaffrey, and you have hopefully Isaac Grando can be that guy. But, yeah, R.J. Harvey's pass blocking is bad. I agree with you, Kenny. But you drafted the best guy last year, and he sucked too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's not a pass-protecting running back. And that's what his best trait was. So, yeah, I don't know. Take that for what you will. Now, I'm curious what y'all think about looking at how the 49ers, like, they don't care about reaching at all. They just want guys they love. And guys that love football. And you look at what they did last year with Mustafa, with, you know, Renardo, with all those guys. It's, dude, they fit us. We love them. They love football. That's what we want. That's just what they want. And that's what they go after. Anyway, so that's my top five for first, second, both third round picks. Fun stuff. Now, after this part, let's get to, man, I got a lot of players I'm in love with. We're going to go through six Rush Crush players that my throat was just like, it was filling. It was like, dude, you need to get out of there. That's what we're going to get to next. Now, if you care about the draft and if you're anywhere close to San Francisco, you got to come party with us. And if you guys are on social media, D'Amador Lenore just shared the 49ers Rush road trip flyer. That's right. Demo is going to be coming to our draft party. I'm so proud and honored. I've been telling you guys, I've been looking for a new favorite player on this 49ers roster because Dre Greenlaw's gone now. And I've been saying Demo's right up there. I don't think I have a choice anymore. Party with the faithful. Let's go. We're going to be at Broadway Studios over in North Beach area from 4 to 9 p.m. or until the draft ends. We might go longer. We rented the place out for the entire evening, so we could stay and party and have a great time. We're going to be there Thursday, and we're going to be there Friday for days one and day two of the draft. D'Amador Lenore, you want to meet him, autograph, all that kind of stuff. That's going to be on day one. We've got big screens, trivia, giveaways, you name it. It's going to be incredible. Day two is going to be awesome. That's for the hardcore draft people. Big screens everywhere, NFL Network, ESPN, plus we're live broadcasting. You are going to be covered. 49ers-centric coverage, nonstop. I'm so pumped, man. Get to meet D'Amador Lenore? What? Go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Get your tickets now. And I got to say this, too. The whole reason why we're allowed to have D'Amador Lenore is because of the mattress guy. Big-time 49ers fan. So if you have a mattress that you need to get rid of and you want to do it ethically and responsibly and environmentally, just go to themattressguyco.com. You put in your details, organize the time. They come get it. You need to get rid of your bed frame. They take care of all that stuff, and they do what's right. Locally owned company serves all of the greater San Francisco area. I cannot say thank you enough. Literally, when we were figuring out how we're going to do this and pay for all this, we couldn't do it. And shout out to the faithful coming in clutch. TheMattressGuyCO.com, diehard Niner fan, and it's just right. So if you need that or you know anybody that needs that, commercial, residential, TheMattressGuyCO.com, freaking awesome. Love that man. A great, great dude. I got a tailgate with him a couple times. He's a good dude, man. Fun guy. All right, let's get to my Rush Crush players that we didn't have room for at the last episode. And, man, I got to be honest with you. Some of these guys are like late round players. You know what I mean? Like, Jarquez Hunter, running back out of Auburn, he's a day three guy. I'd be comfortable in the fourth round with him. He's probably going fifth or sixth round. 5'9", 204. 4.44 speed, good speed. A little bit slower acceleration. 1.58 on the 10-yard, which that's not great. That's a 3. The speed is a 7 score out of this draft class. Acceleration's a 3. My biggest problem with them is you got to get them going. So a very similar write-up as Isaac Grindo. Very similar. Experience, contact balance, top-end speed, returner upside. One of the most elusive backs in this class with the fourth highest elusive rating. He just makes people miss. And if you get him into open space, that is where he excels. Okay? You just got to get him going. Downhill running back with average physical traits, but plus contact balance. You can't measure when you watch him. Just people bounce off of him. He bounces off of people. He stays up. Linebackers, corners tend to bounce off him once he gets going. Not that big of a receiving threat, and that's why he's going to fall. He's not a complete guy. Again, I think I'd be comfortable in the fourth with him. Fifth or sixth round is probably where he's going to go. Not super shifty, but man, he just gets the job done. Slow starter, but a huge top-end speed, just needs room. So if you could go to a schemer like Kyle Shanahan, I really think things could happen. Honor roll student, was Mr. Football in the state of Massachusetts. In Pennsylvania. Grew up in Massachusetts, moved to Pennsylvania. I just like him. I just really, really like this dude. He's a wildfire and environment major. How cool is that, man? Going to be a firefighter, I'm sure, eventually. But I love this dude. Kind of a Tony Pollard-style running back. Smaller scale. You want to put Aaron Jones, that style guy. I just think he's the perfect fit for Kyle Shanahan. And, like, again, I want R.J. Harvey, but if you don't get R.J. Harvey, I'd love Jarquez Hunter round 5. I just think that works. And, like, yeah, he's a rush crush guy. Shout out to my man, Yacek. But I just, like, he's a perfect pairing for Shanahan. Perfect pairing for Shanahan. Yeah, I like Breshard Smith. Tyrone Tracy 2.0. I'm cool with that. I was very high on Tyrone Tracy last year. And yeah, I think that's a good one. Now, let's get to the wide receiver position. Kobe Hudson, UCF. Now, this is what I got to be honest with you. I don't like UCF wide receivers. I hate that offensive scheme that they run. I hate it. It's go routes, slants, hitches. You know what I mean? I don't like that. And that's going to push them down. But 6'1", 193. Good wingspan, 4.57. He's not a blazer, but a 1.54 10-yard, that's good. So acceleration's good. Speed's good, not great. Again, like acceleration, I have him as a 6, right? So like better than average. But experience, versatility, and routes. Now, I said routes. UCF don't run routes. But I'm telling you right now, he has the tools to be a great route runner. He just never was asked. Produces, can line up all three wide receiver spots. Again, this is Kobe Hudson. Very savvy route runner. Nuanced routes. That's rare. Top end speed's a concern. Strong at the catch point. Makes a lot of tough catches, but has some concentration drops. Like, contested catches, good. Type of wide receiver that should have a long career as he fits every scheme and can play all three wide receiver spots. He's one of those guys that just gets your best three out there. Like, you got a X down, cool. You got a flanker down, cool. You got a slot down, cool. Like, he'll find his way on the field. Kind of a Armand Ross St. Brown, you know, type of back. Robert Woods. If his deep threat ability's there. So, like, that's a UCF thing. Smaller Gabe Davis. Like, this guy is kind of a chameleon wide receiver that I'm just like, man, he could do whatever the hell you want him to do. The speed's not elite, but the deep threat presence is there. I just really, really do like this kid, and probably not the best analytic wide receiver to, excuse me, to fit my rush crush. This is just a guy, when the tape comes on, I love it. I love it. Recruited to Auburn, transferred to the Knights at UCF. I don't know what it is about him that makes me like him so much. I have a 9 on the 49ers fit scale for Kobe Hudson. I just think that he is a guy that you could get late and be very, very happy with him. You know, 5th round, 6th round guy, later guy. And it's hard to, like, when you get to 5th, 6th round players, there's issues. That's why they're 5th, 6th round players. So to, like, put the rush crush stamp on them, it's hard to be like, yeah, this is my guy. Really, he runs a 4.5. Yeah, oh, this is my guy. Ah, he's got some concentration drops. I'm telling you, the film, it fits. And it's just one of those guys that this guy's going to succeed at the next level. Is he going to be a Pro Bowler? Probably not. How many 5th round wide receivers become Pro Bowlers? Like, that's not the bet I'm making. I'm saying if you get this player, he's about as safe a player as you're going to get day 3 that fits everything. And he's going to be on every single team's board. That's why, like, man, could jump up into the 4th, 5th, 6th round is probably where he should go. Right here, Logan. Kobe Hudson reminds me of Noah Brown. That's a perfect comp. Noah Brown fits every single team, right? Whenever he was on the Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb was out, they put Noah Brown in the CD role. Then he goes to Washington and he plays the slot. He plays the outside. Like, he's just a guy, not going to make the Pro Bowl, but you're getting a consistent contributor that allows you to get 3 quality wide receivers out there. A duct tape wide receiver, if you want to call him that. Like, I just really, really like that, what he brings to the table. I like it. I like it. I like it. San Mateo, especially with this wide receiver core, which is totally fine, but not incredible and won't be able to overcome a poor run game. I think I missed where you were on that. Sorry, I probably shouldn't have brought that one up, but I thought it was about our guy. Anyway, that's okay. That's okay. Let's get to the defensive side. We've talked too much offense today. One of my favorite names in this draft, if I could spell it right, Smile. Smile Mondon Jr., S-M-A-E-L. Schmel. I freaking love it. Georgia linebacker, 6'2", 224. 4.58 speed, 1.52. He's got great burst, and it shows on tape. Great burst. Decent arm at 32 5/8-inch arms. That's not bad. He's got longer arms than Will Campbell does. But elite acceleration and athleticism for a linebacker. He had some foot injury issues multiple years ago, like across multiple years. That's the negative and why he's going to fall this far, okay? But he's missed 6 games total with feet issues. I don't like that. But I'm telling you, this is why I like this guy. And he's going 6th, 7th round. Smile Mondon Jr., one of the better tacklers in this draft, seems to always bring his feet. The technique is impeccable. He runs through the target consistently. Coverage on tape is better than his coverage grade. Huge special teams contributor, acceleration's A+. It just shows on tape. He's a quick trigger, shot out of a cannon linebacker, 6'2", 224. Needs to trust his keys more often. So sometimes you can kind of see him like, hesitating. But whenever he decides and whenever he pulls the trigger, he's gone. You just got to speed up the processor. He just needs time there. Needs to trust his keys. This is going to force him to fall to day 3. Missed his last few games with that foot issue. But did come back and play in the SEC championship game. Limited snaps, but tough. Plays through injuries, plays through all that stuff. You got to check him out, what the health is on the foot and where that's at. But I'm telling you, man, this is a fun, fun player. And you're watching Georgia tape. There are prospects all over that defense. He jumps off the tape when you're watching other guys. I'm watching, you know, Nazir Stackhouse. I'm watching Mikael Williams. I'm watching all these other Dan Brown, whoever, doesn't matter, on Georgia. And the whole time I'm like, dude, who is this dude? This linebacker, he just jumps off the tape. That acceleration, the just shooting out of whatever, it is incredible. And the speed, he ran a 10.8 in the 100 meter, long jump, triple jump, just freak athlete. That needs to stay healthy. But again, you're getting this guy super late. Super late. Special teams is going to be huge. Missed tackle rate's a 5%. For an off-ball linebacker, man, I freaking... Quay Walker, you know, Georgia guy. I don't want to do... He's not as big as him. But the whole time I was watching him, I was like, dude, the coverage is good. The burst is great. He just has to learn to diagnose. This is the problem with play style comps, not athletic comp. It's Levante David potential, but he's not there yet. You got to coach that out of him. But you're talking about that elite acceleration and quality coverage and athleticism. I'm telling you, man, can he be Levante David? No, that's a Hall of Fame career. But that type of play, that style of play, every down, three down linebacker with elite burst and quality coverage, I'm telling you, man. And right here, San Mateo. Mondin is cool, just shows poor play diagnosis. You got to coach it out of him. You're getting this guy in the fifth or sixth round, maybe seventh. You got to get it out of him. But if you can uncork that, oh, man, yeah, if you could get it out, I'm telling you. And, yeah, Invader, yeah, Swissinger has the best instincts of any linebacker this. Yeah, but that's a second-round player. This is a sixth-round guy, right? I'd be cool taking him with the fifth. Should go in the sixth, might go seventh, right? So, like, these are the things whenever you get to day three, you're trying to get fits. Mondin Jr. fits. I'm telling you, man, whoever gets this guy, and maybe with the foot injury, how bad it is, he could fall to undrafted. This dude should be a priority. You get, man, I would love to get this dude in the team. I really, really would. If you miss out on linebackers early and you land him, man, you could hit a freaking home run. I really, really do think. San Mateo. Mondin is way to get athletically in this class. Yeah, he's up there. It's there. All right, let's get to, man, another Auburn guy. I hate Auburn. But, yeah, let's get to the back to the offensive side. Keandre Lambert-Smith, 6'1", 190 wide receiver, Auburn. 33-inch arms, long arms, wingspan 77 5/8, great. 4.37 speed. Speed, speed, speed. Burner, burner, burner. Deep threat, run blocking, and big plays. What sold me on him, like a lot of people like Dante Thornton, not really a football player. He's an athlete, track athlete, who happens to play football. Like, if you like Thornton, go watch Keandre Lambert-Smith. This is a guy that is a football player who happens to be a track star. Yeah, 6'1 with, you know, close, you know, over 33-inch arms, elite speed, elite change of direction. Like, he's got the shuttle. He ran a 3.98, the short shuttle. He didn't do a three cone. I wish he would have. But, like, under 4 seconds is like, whoa. Like, this dude, elite build, length, speed, change of direction. He's got all the attributes. Just got to put it together. Big play guy. Had an 88-yard touchdown in the Rose Bowl. You want to go watch his highlights. Pretty fun. 19.6 yards per catch. Again, this is, you know, somebody that's going to go in the sixth or seventh round. So, like, finding guys that I could be like, this is my guy. His best routes are deep fades and deep comebacks, which is a nice combination. He can be the clear out guy, whatever else. But, like, the comebacks are huge because whenever you have to respect the 4.3 speed. But when he puts on the brakes and runs that comeback route, now you're screwed. So it's not as easy as just, hey, we have to stay over the top of this guy all the time. He has the combo. He has the counter move to make it dangerous, which is, man, deep route, comeback, deep route, comeback. These guys got to guess on this. Now you get the double moves in there, you're in trouble. And where I'm sold on him is run blocking. This dude, one of the better run blockers in this draft class, needs to work on the rest of the route tree. He's raw. But, man, I would take him a full round, maybe even two rounds, over somebody like a Dante Thornton, those back-end speed guys. This is a football player. He's tough as hell. He's a – put him on punt gunner, worst-case scenario. You got a 6'1 dude running 4.3 that likes physical contact and is mean as hell. Special teams, worst case. Like, I don't think that he can miss. Deep balls, comeback routes, and run blocking just needs coaching in an NFL system. This is Keandre Lambert-Smith, academic All Big Ten. I just really think that this is a safe player with high upside that you can get late if you're looking for that deep threat type connection. I really, really do. So I like him. Lighter, Adonai Mitchell. Rashid Shaheed type guy. Just a fun player. Drop routes, good man. 5% drop rate. Really, really good for a deep ball guy. 19.6 yards per reception. You're talking home run hitter. Deep late in the draft that can run block. How many of those guys are there? You know, you didn't bring back Chris Conley. This dude just slides into that role. Special teams. And, hey, you need to clear out. You need somebody to run posts. You need somebody to run block, a bigger body guy. That's him. That is him. So, Keandre Lambert-Smith, fun player. Fun player. Next up, Marcus Yarns, running back Delaware, the all-helmet school, met with the 49ers at the Senior Bowl. 5'11", 193, smaller guy. Small hands, small wingspan, 4.45 speed. That's good. 1.55 10 yard. That's good. Broad jump, good. Vert, 37.5, good. It just, you know, again, this is a late round guy. 6th, 7th round. But man, wish he played against better competition. But at the Senior Bowl, definitely belonged. Definitely belonged. Good acceleration, can be slippery, making guys miss with ease. Good receiving option. If you want a third down back, Jamichael Hasty style, that's this guy. So, like, if you want somebody that we can just guarantee, what if Christian McCaffrey goes down? We need a third down, true third down back. That's this guy, Marcus Yarns. Is he a every down back? Lacks power, but in the outside zone, he fits. Great at the Senior Bowl. No one could cover him. 66-yard touchdown versus Penn State, right? So if the question is, man, he doesn't play anybody, go turn on that Penn State tape. You got elite athletes out there all over the place. 66-yard touchdown's no joke. But I do like him, but his nickname's Rocket, which I like. Smaller guy, and he played everything. You know, I love multi-sport guys. Basketball, lacrosse, you know, two-time team captain. You name it, showed up at the Senior Bowl, showed he belonged, best plays against the best teams. I just really, really, kind of a Duke Johnson, Sean Tucker type guy. It might be an undrafted free agent. I'm cool with that. 7th round's where he should go. I'd be comfortable in the 6th. But another guy that's just clear path. Returner, 3rd down back, Marcus Yarns, wherever he goes, I'm excited about what he can bring to the table. But these are super, super late guys. It's easy to talk about your favorites being first and second round and third round players. Man, it gets hard whenever you get down to, you know, these back end of the roster guys. And it's just like, yeah, this is a rush crush. It's difficult. All right, last one. Staying on the offensive side, wide receiver Rock Taylor, Memphis. Y'all have heard me talk about him. 6'2", 213. 33.5-inch arms. Big 78-inch wingspan. 4.49 speed. That's good. 1.53 10-yard. That's great. Acceleration, big body. That's rare. 10'2", broad jump. Explosive. 40 yards met with him at the Hula Bowl. This is an undrafted free agent slash 7th round. I have a 7th round grade on him, but probably going to be an undrafted free agent. Contested catches, length, physicality. This is Rock Taylor. ROC. He's supposed to name ROC. Tough as hell. Back-to-back years of good production at two different schools. And so he's kind of bounced around. Was at Tennessee, but then signed with Memphis. Jumped over there. So again, you're talking two SEC schools. Catch radius is good, but low vertical stops it from being great. Yeah, it's weird that he has such a big broad jump, but a low vertical. That's one of those things. It's just like, huh, it's kind of weird. But elite acceleration. Usually with the elite acceleration, you get a good vert as well. Kind of an anomaly there. But the fact that you have elite acceleration and elite broad jump, you know the explosiveness is there. Incredible mean blocker, takes pride in it. Yak guy, 6.8 yak per reception for Rock Taylor in 2023. Good hands, plucks the ball out of the air, very, very long arms, wide receiver plus. If I had to guess on where Rock Taylor goes, he's going to be with Sean McVay. He is that Cooper Kupp, Puka, I'm not saying he's them, but he's that wide receiver plus that he values. Guys that can come in and block, can run slot and outside, are bigger bodied wide receivers that they can use as almost tight ends in the run game by blocking, even from 11 personnel. That's what this guy is. I just think he's such a Jabbar Gaffney. I went old school with what he was. I have a seventh round grade on him, but he's a 10 out of 10 for a 49ers fit. 10 out of 10. Ah, San Mateo says, Shanahan's draft crush wide receiver will be Emeka Egbuka. Yeah, I think you're right. And in my final rankings, I moved Egbuka up to my wide receiver too. I put him ahead of the Longhorn, but they're close. Yeah, Amika's stud. But, okay, so what do you do? The 49ers need a wide receiver, right? Let's say you don't get one early. I hope they don't. I hope they wait. Third round is probably the earliest you should target a wide receiver. Even then, it's too early for my liking, but okay. But what if you don't get the guys that you're targeting? You got to pick up somebody, and that's where these guys come in. Man, maybe the board just does not fall the way you want to, and you've got to get a Kobe Hudson in round 5, a Keandre Lambert-Smith in round 6, a Rock Taylor in round 7. That's why we put the time in. Because, man, these are your fallback, stopgap motion, like wide receivers, if you had to. And you got to have these backup plans. You only got 11 picks. You got needs everywhere. And if the board falls a certain way, wide receiver is a position to fall back on. You're hoping you get Ayuk back halfway through the season, but you do have Pearsall. You do have Cowan. You do have Juwan Jennings. You've got guys. You need to add because you traded Debo. Ugh. Man, yeah, right here. If Shannon loved OBJ Jr., he'll love Noel. I love Noel. Jalen Noel, incredible. I don't want to spend a pick as early as it's going to take to get him. I've got a third-round grade. Again, I don't want to spend third-round pick on a wide receiver. Not with all the other guys that are there in the line. Shanahan probably will. he probably will. Yeah, and Kyle Williams is very high on that list. And again, Kyle Williams, I have Jalen Noel and Kyle Williams back-to-back in my rankings in the third round. I don't want to spend a third round on a wide receiver. They're worth the pick. They are worth the pick. But, I mean, would you rather have Jalen Noel over Tate Ratledge or over C.J. West? No. Like, you know what I mean? Jalen Noel's awesome. But you're a run-heavy team that runs the least three wide receiver sets in the NFL. Go get somebody that's going to play every down. Go get C.J. West. Now we're into roster construction, which the 49ers are always weird on. Anyway, yeah. Gosh, I love this draft. I can't wait, man. We're close. We are close, my friends. I'm so thankful. For you guys to allow spend your time with me. Are you kidding? Talking draft stuff. I'm very thankful and very appreciative of all of you who are watching, listening, whatever. Please hit that subscribe button and please allow me to continue to do this. I'll do my due diligence and make sure I don't bring terrible content to you, hopefully, and educate. So the goal of all of this, today's show, is when you're watching the draft and you're going through the draft, there's a lot more names that you recognize. We literally hit rounds 1 through 7 and a little bit of undrafted free agent talk. Hopefully we're getting you prepared. You guys are the best, and I can't say thank you enough. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.